Hi, you're listening to Branded Search and Beyond with Jason Barnard, the Brand SERP guy and CEO of CaliCube. In each episode, we'll introduce you to experts and thought leaders who will share their insights and strategies to help you build a strong and memorable brand in the digital landscape. If you're worried about the future of SEO strategy because of ChatGPT and Google Gemini, we got you covered. Go to CaliCube.com to find out more about the future-proof digital marketing strategy. Now, buckle up and get ready to learn from industry experts here on Branded Search and Beyond with Jason Barnard.
A quick hello and we're good to go. Welcome to the show, Gaurav Sharma.
Thank you so much, Jason. This is so nice. Means I'm a real singer, so I won't be able to sing because if somebody hear me singing, they will scream. Trust me.
Singing during the show. Right. So we're going to be talking about leveling up your content through regular updates. I'm really interested in this because at CaliCube right now, we have a tendency to try to create more content. And perhaps what we should do is go back through our old content and level up to get more value out of what we already have. Before we do that, we're going to be talking about brand SERPs. Now, your company, AtRock. I found this lovely knowledge panel for AtRock with the Facebook, the Twitter, and the LinkedIn in there. We've also got who is the CEO of AtRock and what does digital marketing do, which means it's understood your topicality and it's understood that who is the CEO of the company is an important piece of information. Anybody who's interested in investigating knowledge panels and brand SERPs, join the Facebook group down there on the left-hand side. And the next one we can see here, founder Gaurav Sharma. And there's your tiny knowledge panel, and you are a business person in Google's mind. It's only found your LinkedIn profile, but from what I understand, your name is incredibly popular, and it's got it all mixed up on the left-hand side. That's something I would argue that you would want to sort out. There are a lot of Gaurav Sharmas who are very famous, and that's hugely difficult. Have you ever looked at trying to get yourself understood by Google, given the competition that you have?
Yeah, I've tried that way, but I own an agency, so my focus mostly went for the clients first. So it was always the priority, yeah. And it's always like you always wanted to invest on your business and want to like grow your brand name. But most of the time, I have to like strategize with the client stuff, taking out the client stuff and customer handling and everything. So it consumes a lot of time. So I never got enough time to invest on my branding. Yeah. But yeah, from last 1 and 2 years, that's what I'm like doing for myself. So it's been like 2.5 years that I'm contributing almost 250 plus websites. So I guest post on almost all big websites that you name. HubSpot, TechCrunch, Lifehacker, means all the big names you have name. I'm always on there. HubSpot I write for. All big names.
Okay, so brilliant. How do you get those opportunities? They're huge opportunities.
Yeah, it means been into this industry for 10 years now. So I reach out to like a lot of people. I see a lot of rejections, honestly. It means I email like 10 or like 20 publishers, hardly like 2 or 3 response. And I just make sure that the quality of content is good so that they are like satisfied and happy. And once I get published on one, then I use that as a bait to like send a mail to another publisher that, okay, I just published this one got a lot of shares and reach and a lot of good views. They get excited, okay, this guy actually contributes a valuable content. Right. This is important. Most of the content these days are like crappy content, and that's why publisher hates it, EdX hates it, and they just don't respond. So it took time to build this much, but initially 6 months was a terrible one. Means I got a lot of rejections because they want someone who is into this industry and they understand the content, the value, they understand the users, their audience, and create the content for that website, not just for the backlink. So
we're looking much at bringing value, being patient and being consistent over time and accepting rejection, which is great, great advice. Now, at CaliCube, we focus on brand SERPs and we're going to headline sponsor ourselves today, which I love doing because we have basically 3 solutions for your brand SERP or your knowledge panel, not for you particularly. But if you want to improve your brand SERP or your knowledge panel, there is the BrandCert book for the beginners. Intermediate, we have the BrandCert courses. And for advanced users, we have the SaaS platform CaliCube Pro, which is really going strong. CaliCube, it's all about your BrandCert. You are listening to Branded Search and Beyond with Jason Barnard. Now, back to the show. Now, we've finished talking about brand SERPs and we're going to come on to content. Leveling up your content by updating it. Number one, I have a site with 300 articles. Where do I start?
Okay, so one thing, this is the common problem that we actually see. A lot of publishers who like contributing content from last 3, 4 years, 5 years, they have like tons of content on the website.
Yeah.
And they just keep on adding new content every single week or like bi-weekly or whatever. Now the problem comes is after each Google update, Google Core update specifically, the older article gets like deranked. So your website was not hit by any update. It just, the article is like too old and Google wants fresh content for their audience. So the point is you need to understand that we need to just not create the fresh content every single time. It just upgrade the older content that we already have for the users. Because it went really well for a couple of time on Google. But if you just upgrade the content as per the SERP analysis, because that's a key thing. You need to analyze SERP on a regular basis with time. Just take an example. This is what I do for my clients. That for any like money keyword or commercial keyword or the highly targeted keywords or high KDS keyword that you already have, that needs to be upgraded every 4 to 6 months. So you need to understand if you use Ahrefs, you can go to Keyword Explorer and see if a particular SERP for certain keyword is very sensitive. When it's been keep on changing over like 6 months or 12 months period, then you need to upgrade that content more often. And if you see a certain keyword that has a low KDS, less competitive, decent volume, like 100, 200 only, then for that kind of keyword, you might be able to upgrade that content like after like 9 months, 12 months or 15 months. That's something you can wait. So you need to plan out the strategy for your content, see which keywords are your primary keywords, important keywords, and see the SERP sensitivity using Ahrefs, and then prioritize which are the like, top 20 articles, top 50 articles that you already have that you wanted to rank always. Upgrade those content on like 6 months or like 8 months time period. And if it's like too sensitive, like the just to take an example, how to start a blog. It's kind of very highly competitive keyword and it's quite sensitive as well. SERP changes very fast for that keyword after every single update. So for that part, you need to upgrade that content like every 3 months or 4 months to make sure it's always valuable to the user and it's always fresh and you keep adding some kind of extra value that is something not provided by your competitors. So you need to analyze the SERP for that keyword, understand what are other top 10 website publisher actually like posting on it, and then plan out the whole strategy for 1 year or 2 years. Because
that's so
a lot of work.
Planning the strategy a couple of years in advance and having a process whereby these articles come through on a timeline for a specific person within the company to update is a great process to have. Now, when you're updating the articles, what do you need to focus on? Changing the existing text, or adding extra information, or taking away information?
Okay, that's a very important question. Yeah. See, what we need to understand is for certain keyword and certain queries, what happens is after a certain period of time, like 1 year, 2 years, Google just changed the whole SERP. So sometime for certain query, like best AI chatbot, he was likely to submit a share like listicle article. Like this is the exact keyword that I've been targeting like in 2019. So in the beginning, Google was likely to share listicle articles on top 10 list. But after like certain updates in 2020 and 2021, they started posting like what type of article and guide article. A few listicle articles. Then in certain situations, we need to understand the SERP analysis. We do the SERP analysis for the keyword. Then we do most of the time we need to like add extra content, like what type of section or headings we need to include. Sometimes we have to include some FAQs, and to come up with the like final conclusion, we need to analyze the SERP of that particular keyword every single time, whenever we upgrade. Because for certain keywords too sensitive, and minted how actually SERP is working now, because Google changes really fast.
Well, when you say analyze the SERP, what do you mean? I mean, you've said it a couple of times, but what do you actually do? Do you go in and look at the content of your competitors, or do you just look at what's there? And how do you decide what to change?
Yeah, so just take an example. First keyword, previously, like last week, it was ranking on top three spots. And now suddenly, like after a certain Google update, it came to like 12th or 14th. So just look into the what are the top 10 publishers are doing, what are the new, maybe they change the whole SERP, they change the whole title, they need to analyze if the heading structure is changed, and the top 10 publishers have a different heading structure than yours. If the heading structure is different, then you need to change the heading structure. And you also, like me, I actually go into details, like I also go into like keyword density as well, that what kind of keyword density now it's working out. Like right now it's something around 1.5 is ideal. A lot of people sometimes use 2.2, like 2.5 as well right now. But keyword density, you need to check. You need to check the heading structure. You need to check the title, the type of title, like it's a what type, listicle, how to. And then see the FAQs and see the structured data. If they are actually having FAQ markups, author markups, what kind of markups they have. Make sure all these things are as per the new updates and everything. Then you implement all this on your existing articles, and you will see that a couple of weeks, it will start ranking on page one again.
So right. And you mentioned keyword density. Do you look at keyword density, or do you look at entities and topicality?
Yeah, so entity and topicality is also important. But ideally, what I do is, I see there are certain blogs I've read that keyword density doesn't exist now. Google doesn't care about keyword density. Whatever keyword you do, you need to talk about clusters. That is fine. But what we do is, we need to make a certain keyword that you need to, a primary keyword for your articles. That is something you focused on. Then you need to come up with some semantical like synonyms of the the same keyword, or you can say the variation of the keywords, and put it in the natural form and break the key phrase into individual words and make sure it's placed in like 1.5 or 1.2 times percentage. This way it's like naturally flowed, and like bots will never be able to like analyze, understand that it's like specially targeted for certain keywords, because you actually break the whole key phrase. Just like how to start a blog, it's a long key phrase. So you divide it into like how to separate, start a blog as a separate, or this blog word as a separate word, and use it throughout the post like 1.5 times, individual words. And then keeping the main title, main the keyword into headings, H1, H2, a couple of times, and voila, it will work for you.
Right. So okay. So how important are headings? I mean, you mentioned headings as well. When you break the content down, do you change the headings regularly, or do you tend to leave them as they are and change the content in the paragraph afterwards?
Historically, usually it doesn't work. Like we don't have to change the titles most of the time, because SERPs and the whole SERP changes after a year or so. Means not every update Google changes the SERP. They slowly changes the SERP. So just like taking example, like initially the whole 10 articles are like listicle, but after certain updates, it will be like 6 articles, 7 articles will be listicle, and 3-4 articles will be like how to or guide type. And maybe after certain updates, Google will try to understand that how user experience works on a particular SERP for the certain query. If they see like more clicks coming on how to article instead of listicle article, they will start pushing the how to article on the top and listicle article in the downward. So that's something we need to keep a track. That okay, if after certain updates, like Google is pushing more how-to article and less listicle article, or maybe more listicle article and less how-to article. Or maybe sometimes happens like for certain keywords, there are certain landing pages ranks perform well and less listicle or blog articles. So we need to understand which keyword perform well, like landing page perform well for listicle, for certain keywords, or blog perform for certain keywords.
And here's a question around that is, if you've got a listicle article, and all of a sudden you realize that a how-to article is going to rank better, can you just switch the listicle to become a how-to?
Yeah, that's something you can do. And for these, this, there's another strategy we do is cannibalization. So we write how-to article as well as listicle article, as like both two articles for the certain keywords. And you will see, and if your authority is high, this is a certain condition that if your authority is like really, really high, like DR78 plus, this is what I've seen like the trend. If you write two articles on a listicle as well as on how-to for the same keyword, both will perform well. Somehow, both will perform. And this is something I've seen on minimal websites.
So the authority condition is there. Both will rank at the same time for the same site.
Yes. For certain website, it does work. It does work. So okay. One website I've seen is oberlo.com and influencermarketinghub.com. They have like a lot of cannibalization keywords, and they have been performing really well from like a couple of years. So it's been doing great. Super. Because the authority is great.
So, and in the changes that you make on an article, which is most important? Is it the introduction and the conclusion, and we can more or less leave the rest as is? And if we focus on the introduction and the conclusion, we'll be fine?
Introduction is important, totally. But also, while writing the content, the readability part, the user experience part, you're adding like more images, more like bullet points. You can use using bucket bridges. So they're like, it's more readable. There's more space out clearly. And it's not like long form at all. Those kind of activities you need to make. And also I've seen that adding a TOC nowadays helps really well in terms of navigation for users. So user experience improves adding a TOC in blog post. So that's another good thing.
These kind of activities table of contents is what you mean by TOC.
Table of content, table of content.
Yeah, just to be really clear so that I'm sure I fully understood it. We actually did a case study with Microsoft Clarity where we added a table of content, and it hugely improved the stickiness of the web page and the fact that people actually went through the whole thing. Microsoft Clarity is absolutely brilliant. We also realized that using pull quotes was really, really cool. And so that's something I would tend to do is add the table of content, add some pull quotes, maybe rephrase things, but also... What do you do if nothing has updated in terms of what you need to say in the article? So I've got to update every 3 months, you tell me, but I've got nothing new to say. What can I do?
So in that case, just simply copy what competitors are doing just to make sure that you're like making Google happy. Because at the end, I understand the knowledge is enough, like limited knowledge that we have. There's some certain things we can speak. But in that case, we need to make sure that we are working for Google so that Google is happy with your content so that they can push it your website. So see what competitors are doing, what Google understands for certain keyword and why your website is at 8th position and why competitors are at like 1st position. Maybe it's not the just content, maybe it's just more backlink as well or the authority or the trustworthiness of the website. So folk understand those parameters and then and strategy and then go hard.
Okay, and so we come back to the question is, if I've got a lot of content, how do I decide which ones to optimize? You simply do it in a cyclical manner. As you say, the core articles that I have need to be done every 3 months and all the others need to be done every 6 months or so, depending on the sensitivity of the SERP. Where would I start? I mean, I'm trying to figure out, obviously I start with the core articles, but if I've got 10 core articles, which one do I do first?
Okay, so here's the deal. What you can do is, see, for any publisher, there are certain blogs, like 10, 20, 30 blogs, which are like primary blogs that drives most of the traffic to their website. So those 10 articles or 20 articles would be the first priority thing they need to upgrade. So they should not lose their audience at all. Otherwise, they will like the graph drops and that doesn't look good. So those top 20 articles should be the first priority. Next is the low-hanging fruits. So there are certain keywords that you wanted to rank, but you're ranking somewhere on like second, third page or fourth page. So low-hanging fruits should be your second priority. And make sure that they're likely to come on page one. It just like some kind of content boost is required. So you upgrade those content as the second priority. So if you have like 300 articles, it's very hard to like optimize or upgrade all those articles in like 3 months right away because you have limited budget as well. Right. So prioritize on the basis of the primary article, which are like juicy and brings most of the traffic for you. and traffic as well as your money as well, like sales page or whatever. Those would be like primary or affiliate articles. The first priority. Second is the low-hanging keywords, which are ranking on page 2 or 3. And then your target keywords that you want to rank, that maybe it's like high KDS or it's not ranking anywhere, like on 5th or 6th page or maybe not on top 100. Upgrade those articles so that they start coming on like page 6, 5, 6, 7, and then eventually get on page 1. So that will be third priority. So prioritize all these three, like priority 1, 2, 3, and then start seeing the results. And eventually, you will, when you have more money, you will invest more and move forward.
Okay. And do you see any benefit from changing the featured image or the image that appears in the SERP often next to an article? Does that help or is that unhelpful?
If it's, it's a stock images, it's useless. But if it's a data graphics, that is some kind of graphics is there and it's meaningful, helpful, that might help sometime. But not great case study I've seen using that featured image.
No. Okay. And then when you update it, you leave the original publishing date and you have an updated date. You don't change the publishing date.
Yeah. So this is another good thing. It's a lot of websites, what they do, they just don't talk about the dates. Means a lot of big websites, they just don't mention the dates sometimes. What I prefer is actually update the updated date. Like whenever you update the content, just mention the new date so that a user, it increases the, improves the user experience. Because any user lands on your blog, they understand, okay, this page is recently updated. So they feel good instead of a content re-updated year or like one that's them, okay, this is old article. So they will bounce off. So mention an updated date. That will increase the whole user experience. Because the main goal is, because Google is mostly focused on page experience now.
Mm-hmm. But obviously, your great point to say updated for the user, they can see it, they feel comfortable. What do you do about the date that appears in the Google search results? Because if they show the published date, then it looks very out of date and the person doesn't click.
Yeah, so that's why it's better that you don't just post those published date. I mean, just have like a one date that says updated as of. So they will pull off that updated date as well whenever they index, re-index the page. So don't have like that. Yeah, so that the use good. Messing up.
Right.
Data hubs that will help state precise and which.
And my next question is about links within the page. Do you update the links in the page, the internal links to other pages, or is it better to leave them as they are?
Means I always go aggressive internal linking. A lot of people say like interlinking is good, which is fine, which is acceptable. Yeah, it is good, but you need to be aggressive. So I have a certain ratio that I take care of. So every... one outbound link, there should be 4 internal linking at least. So if you're adding like 10 outbound links, 10 resources, you should have at least 30 to 40 internal linking. So that it has to be aggressive, not just internal linking. That's why I'm always emphasize that you have to be aggressive with your internal linking. More internal linking you do, better your like structure, like website structure will be. Google will index you better. They will understand your content better and will perform really good. So interlinking, you need to be aggressive, not just regular interlinking.
And what kind of external links you're adding to the pages?
Like case studies or resources or Wikipedia pages or any like case studies or any ebook that you want to refer, or maybe any factual data or statistic from third-party website. So those kind of references, if they're outbound, so they should be like 1:4 ratio. That's what I mean.
Right. Okay.
I'd want to know.
Absolutely brilliant. That was really, really interesting. And the last question is always the same. In fact, it's a choice of two questions. How does leveling up your content help with branded search? And you can answer that question and the other one. How does branded search help with leveling up your content? Answer one, either, or both. Gaurav.
Yeah. So, so I'll answer the question one. So leveling up your content helps branded search because see, future is branding. Like, this is the future. Means 10 years back, it's more like keyword focused always. But if you see the future, it's always be branded. And for branding, you need to put a lot of content and different types of content, not just textual content. You need to come up with some video content, you need to have some audio content, you need to go into multiple areas. So if you put a lot of content, searches, the search engines, or even the like AI chatbot, which are coming up these days, they're able to like understand you better. And so that they can push you hard and get you on page one. They will, somebody search on chatbot like what's AdRock, they will pull the data from content because they need content to consume chatbots as well, right? So if you put a lot of content, different types of content, this will help your branding go crazy. And more brandings mean more target audience, more qualified leads, more revenue, more growth. You happy, everyone happy. So having good content is like super important for the future.
Brilliant. Great content alongside a very solid, well understood and impressive brand. Thank you so much, Gaurav. That was absolutely brilliant. Now we're going to pass the baton, to Ed Trifone, who's going to be talking next week about leveraging your personal brand to boost the sales process. I'm super interested in this. He's been helping us at CaddyCube with our sales process, and I know that he's super smart. He's got a lot to share. It's going to be awesome. Could you please pass the baton?
Yeah, definitely, man. That goes to Ed Trifone. He's a great guy working on like leveraging your personal brand to boost your sales process. So,
next brilliant. That's going to be absolutely Trifone. Awesome. Thank you so much, Gaurav. Thank you, everyone, for watching. You get the outro song. A quick goodbye to end the show. Thank you, Gaurav.
Thank you, Jason.
And that was actually pretty good. CaddyCube. It's all about your brand SERP.